Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Come on. The strong, the powerful Thomas Michael Hogg is here on Money Savage Create. Welcome, Thomas.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thomas is an international business owner. He's an expert on business culture. He's on a mission to help transformative leaders replicate this success in his new book, Profitable Growth Strategies, 7 Proven Best Practices from German Companies. Thomas, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Thanks, George. Thanks for inviting him. I mean, I'm from Germany, like the book said, and the most important thing for me to mention is, I'm happily married. We have two wonderful kids, and professionally, and I'm a consultant for more than 20 years now. Founded my consulting firm on strategic planning and profitable growth somehow 8 years ago. And being in the consulting business is certainly a kind of a heritage, I think, because my dad was a former football soccer coach, and I went on many trainings with him when I was a kid, and also sometimes in the games I was able to sit on the bench with the other players, and I guess I really I have this heritage from him, so this is why I'm also really passionate to help people, to advise people, and then when I see my profession, I guess I really like and I'm passionate about seeing company owners growing successfully from their journey, sometimes from being an entrepreneur to being a business owner and then a company owner. What is the difference? And then sometimes also we help in the process to sell the company at the end of the journey. So I guess, and I'm sure, and this is what gets me all up in the morning and to serve others and especially to serve company owners.
Nice. So I certainly appreciate all that. So how long were you in Germany?
In Germany, I came here, overseas to study abroad 15 years ago. I'm living now with my family. We're living in Mexico here in Monterrey, near to the border to Texas. So, and before, I lived 25 years in Germany.
Nice. It's always fascinating to have the opportunity to speak with people who have lived all over the world, because I think that certainly helps to shape your perspective and your experience. We're all talking to ourselves, right? We all have some kind of an inner dialogue, and I'm wondering what your inner dialogue is like and how that's sort of changed and evolved over the years.
That's a really good question. Obviously now, being a husband for somehow 8 years, being a dad, that's the most important thing for me, and being a better me, and being a better husband and dad, it's the most important thing for me right now, and obviously also to be more professional every day, to adding more value. Obviously for my clients, for customers, but also I think it's really important to add value first to your family, and also to society, because I mean, I learned this kind of from my mom, because she told me, I mean, if you're going to another place and living abroad, you have to involve yourself. You have to add some value to society. So I'm also in two foundations very actively for 10 years now, helping Down syndrome kids, for example, and being responsible for all the donations in this organization as well.
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show.
It is I'm such a proponent and firm believer in how important community is, and it's certainly possible, as you've experienced, to enmesh yourself and become an impactful and valuable member of the community wherever it is that you're living. So I certainly appreciate that. As you are balancing the family life and the community life, and obviously your professional life, and then writing a book, how do you organize your day? Are there certain things that you always need to try to fit in?
I have learned a kind of pyramid structure for my day and for my week, and it's kind of in the top of the pyramid. I'm a believer. I mean, I trust in God. Then I focus on my marriage, kind of. I mean, as you can imagine, as you know, I mean, it's not perfectly every day. We,
sure.
but then, I mean, I focus on my marriage. I focus on my kids, and then kind of comes the work, the professional life. So, I guess it's really, really important to, as you said, to have a work-life balance and to have a balance and be focused, because, I mean, my main motivations is my family. So I guess a lot of clients also appreciate this. And so you kind of connect with the same people. And this is really interesting. So I'm focused to doing a good job on these different levels. And I guess also writing a book or sharing content. I mean, you have to be authentic, and you have to be a little bit more just as a business consultant, because you have to understand the needs. You have to listen to them. And many times it's not about the methodologies, it's about people, and it's about people understanding you. It's about people following you. It's about people listening to you, and that you and kind of first connect to the people and then work with them.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. And I've got, I don't know how old your kids are, Thomas. Mine are 4 and 1, and it is certainly not a game of perfect. Some days are incredible, and some days are more challenging. And so,
yeah, exactly the same, 2 and 4. Am I?
Okay. Yeah. My 4-year-old is giving me a real run for my money right now. But that's all just part of the process. So, how are you doing with everything? How do you feel like you're doing managing all those different aspects?
It's a little bit of surprising, maybe my answer, because I mean, I like challenges, really, and I guess there is really where we're growing. I mean, in the family part, as a dad and as a husband, but also on the work. And when the whole coronavirus started and we got kind of in this crisis, I guess there's where the real leaders came up, or as we can see with some leaders in the world, like our Chancellor Angela Merkel, and I guess there is where you have to show leadership. So I cannot say I was prepared for it, but somehow I had already my plan to write my book. I had I was quite focused. I was organized somehow with my days, and then when the crisis came, I guess, I mean, there, I mean, my goal, and also you ask me your inner self, what are you talking? I mean, that you have to stand up. I mean, you have to stand up at home and for your family and to provide. And also, I mean, you have to stand up to be there for our customers, for our clients. So there, I really, in March, I gave the first the workshops to the companies. Hey, this is coming. What a company owner has to do in this situation. First of all, solidarity. First of all, take care of your employees, and then obviously take care of the business. I mean, of first and foremost of cash flow. I'm telling it also with my friends. Historically, in Germany, I mean, we have really a bad history, you know, and we have a debt in history. What happened in especially in the Second World War. But on the other hand, we kind of and the generations of my grandma and my grandpa, I mean, they were used to this really difficult and crisis situation, and Germany kind of. I'm not sure how to say we are kind of good in crisis. But I have seen the leadership of Angela Merkel, our chancellor, and she's a great example. She did not underestimate this crisis, and I was or everybody in Germany was looking up to her, and she really showed us leadership, and this is what I tried to replicate. I mean, this leadership in my community, in my family, and with my clients.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that, and I wonder what it would be like to have a leader that was really on the ball and did a good job communicating to everybody. Oh, well, that's neither here nor there, Thomas. So, all right, yeah, certainly unprecedented times, and shame on me for being glib about it. But being able to make changes and pivot and to change what you're focused on, getting into the book a little bit, I know that so much of an organization being successful is just understanding where to put your attention and your time, and would love to hear your thoughts on the 80-20 principle.
Yes, I mean the 80-20 principle, the Pareto law. I mean, I guess many people know about it, but when you do this 80-20, there's an 80-20 mindset, how I call it, and also there is there are obviously 80-20 analysis. So and in crisis, it's so important that you have this 80-20 focus, because I mean the Pareto law tells us that 20% of our most important clients, 20% of our most important products or services are giving us the 80% of our sales in the first place. So this comes true to sales. This comes true to your products and to product or service portfolio, and also of course on your clients. So I have seen that this comes also true for your leads and your prospects. This comes also true for your employees. So in crisis situation, I mean, you have to focus your business, and there you have to be close, obviously, to your most important clients, to retain your clients. You have to be close to your most important employees, because kind of they are running the business, and they are responsible performing best. So you have to be close to your clients, to your best employees, also giving more focus on the most important products and services, which helps you with the cash flow. So I have seen that this principle is even more important now in crisis.
Yeah, I think certainly times like these do shine a light on what's really important and what's most important. Across that spectrum of a company or a business owner starting out as an entrepreneur and then being able to actually take those big steps and leaps to having a going concern, a really viable business, and then eventually getting to the point where it's something that people are interested in buying, are there certain through lines that you can look to those successful operators and say, this guy or this woman really does this well? It's kind of a big question, but...
Ma'am, I mean, I will address a little bit what I about my book and what I wrote, and a little bit the methodology where I kind of describe these seven steps or seven key practices from successful German companies. Because I mean, I studied a lot. I mean, the German companies, and there are some interesting facts, George, about in the different niches. In the different industries and in the different sectors, Germany has about 1,500 market leaders. Actually, there is no other country in the world who has more market leaders in different niches. So I was really surprised when I've seen the data. And also, I mean, the German economy is kind of strong, competing somehow when you're talking about exports with China and the US, only having 82 million inhabitants. And this was really interesting for me to see, okay, let's, I want to deep dive a little bit, okay, what are these key elements? I mean, what this company has, and then also, I mean, the focus on the company owners. And the first thing was, what you all already mentioned was the focus, the 80-20 focus. And then we are talking a little bit more on quality and this high focus on quality, as we know. I mean, we all, I guess, I mean, many people see German brands or German companies as related to quality. I mean, when we talk about the automakers, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, maybe also Volkswagen, and there are many examples in different industries. I mean, SAP, when we talk about technology. So as I worked for Adidas in Germany, which in Europe they are, I mean, the sporting goods giant. I have learned this high focus on quality when I worked for Adidas. There in the testing center, I was really amazed when the first time I've seen there. So they did some testing for the FIFA, which is the federation for the global football organization. So they are checking some quality on the football products, on the balls especially. And when I got there, they told me, hey, you can see here the standard of the FIFA, and the quality standards they ask for is on 100, and the base is 100. That they ask us for 100, and all our competitors are looking for to keep up on these standards. But here in the testing center, we all our products coming in here, and we're testing them. Our standard and our benchmark is 150. I was really amazed, and then I've seen all the technology there to double check and improve the quality of the product. And this is kind of maybe, I mean, you can see the tip of the iceberg, the German quality, but what is behind this quality? So this is really a deep focus on details. This is really a deep focus on testing. This is really investing in R&D and in research and development. So there comes, I mean, this high German quality focus. Somehow is one of the most important things. And also talking about the current situation with the global crisis, you have so many sectors and industries, and you have these global value chains. And in these global value chains, you need the most important elements of quality, so that your supply chain and the value chain, the global value chains can function. And there, these German niche companies with their quality are important also in crisis. This is why what I have seen that when we are talking also about medium-sized businesses or small and medium-sized businesses, there are a lot of small and medium-sized German companies, because of their quality, they have a global footprint, and this global footprint also helps them now to withstand a little bit better the crisis than their counterparts in the industry, because they kind of have a natural demand on their products because of their quality and because their products and or services are still relevant even in crisis.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. Being able to manage all those aspects and to successfully navigate through these unprecedented times, but even just crises that don't have to be so catastrophic that we've been experiencing. So I like it. Well, Thomas, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
The most important thing is to have a strategy plan. And this strategy plan, when we talk about planning and now, I mean, the horizon of planning right now in the crisis, we are not planning anymore for 3 to 5 years. I mean, the planning horizon is right now. Horizon is right, I guess, maybe from 1 year or 2 years. I mean, we just want to see, okay, having a successful 2021. And your strategy plan, when I talk to company owners or business owners or sometimes entrepreneurs, when they talk about planning, they think about, oh, it's all about innovation and doing new stuff and new things. And I tell them, yes, that is one part of your strategic plan. But in the strategy plan, the most important thing is your core business. You have to understand and you have to find and define your core business. What's your core business? Your core business is where you had profits and where you had profitable growth the last 2 to 3 years. Which, what are the products, what are companies, what are the industries? So define your core business, and this is the starting point for your strategy plan. And from this point on, from your strategy plan, I mean, you have to have tasks and strategies and projects to really to defend your core business and to strengthen your core business. This is the first thing in your strategy plan, and then kind of you go to the next steps where you can see, okay, how can I expand my business in the geographical footprint, my footprint, where can I maybe grow in other cities or in other countries, or to export my products and services. But starting with the core business, you go geographically with your footprint, and also you see how you can complement kind of your product or service portfolio, selling other products. And then you also deep dive in innovations or new products which maybe are not so close to your core business. So this is my tip to really try to strengthen first your core business, to defend your core business. And again, in crisis situations, it's really important that you know your core business, and then you because this is the 80-20 of your business, and this you have to defend.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets it. Come on. Thomas, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? Where can they get a copy of Profitable Growth Strategies, 7 Proven Best Practices from German Companies?
And obviously on the website, it's profitablegrowthstrategy.com. And also, yeah, you can find my content on LinkedIn, Thomas Michael Hawk, and Instagram and Twitter as well. So I'm really happy and thankful for your interview, George, and I would be really happy to share my content with your community.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Thomas your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to profitablegrowthstrategy.com, get a copy of the book, and then find Thomas on social media as well. I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Thomas.
Thanks a lot, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.